Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. You're our listening audience, and we treasure your responses, your questions, your dialogue that you join in with us each day on this broadcast. Lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to our studios, right to our microphone, so that we can have dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day, or the issues, as some cases may be. Ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, let me remind us once again that we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. I find it antithetical to truth when individuals will create their own truth and try to argue then from the basis of what they perceive to be truth. Ladies and gentlemen, when we're searching for truth, the Bible is the source book of truth. It doesn't just contain truth. It's not just a tidbit here and there, but it's total truth. When we open the Bible from Genesis 1:1 through the Revelation text, it is truth. Jesus, in fact, said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He said that to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. Then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then in John 17:17, Jesus makes a declaratory statement that should be that which is our guidebook, our principle for living. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And so it's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that is truth. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, all that you find there is truth. By the way, God didn't make errors in the Word of God. The Word of God is to be interpreted literally, unless in context it dictates otherwise. And yet we have a whole host of folks today that's trying to ridicule the Scripture, or as some call it, coming unhitched from the Old Testament, or as the Pope calls it, that the Bible needs to be rewritten because it's not relevant to current society. Well, putting all of that aside, because all of that is simply jargon from those that seemingly are either, as I call it, lost as a green ball in high weeds, or they are an apostate, fallen from the truth of the Word of God. But Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." So let that be the source book, the guidebook, the direction for us in our lives when we're seeking for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell a number of years ago that spoke these words: "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And that's what we see taking place today, is the absolute hatred for those that speak the truth. And yet, I am appreciative of and very thankful for the statement by Jan Hus, a 15th century theologian and church reformer, that said these words. Let me share them with you. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, and even die for the truth." Ladies and gentlemen, that ought to be the key mantra for every child of God, for every Christian. May I commend it to you. It is seeking the truth, learning the truth, living the truth, looking for the truth, telling the truth, living the truth, defending the truth, even if it means death. And ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks that are standing for truth today that's being, if you please, assassinated with their characters because they simply stand for the truth of what the Word of God says, or the truth on an individual issue. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for the individual looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo for the landscape and lawn care equipment, not only for the professional, but also for the homeowner. Tools for Time also carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff. They can answer all of your questions about landscape, lawn care, and the hurricane preparedness equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where is that located? Where can you find it? Right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the flag, about 165-foot pole with the Old Glory flying 24/7. Base of that flag, you'll find Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you once again that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I want us to keep an eye on Richmond today, ladies and gentlemen. This is just a little mini dialogue, monologue, before getting into what we're going to talk about for our broadcast today. But we need to keep an eye on what's happening in Richmond, Virginia. Richmond, Virginia is at a boiling point right now, I really believe, and we're watching the leadership by Governor Northam and the socialist Marxist Democrats. They put on a full pledge to eliminate weapons out of the hands of the honest, law-abiding citizens. They have withdrawn the bill now, but it was SB 16. And SB 16 was designed to confiscate weapons from the hands of the honorable citizens in the state of Virginia. People have made comment about that. Most of them have been negative in relationship to that attempt to confiscate guns. It is absolutely an infringement on the Second Amendment right, but we need to keep an eye on that today. You see, the governor has issued emergency orders because today they have, coming from across America, gun rights owners, Second Amendment rights advocates, and others that are coming to Virginia for the express purpose of saying, don't confiscate weapons. Don't take the weapons of the law-abiding citizens in Virginia. And as a result of that, there is a so-called fear that something will happen like in Charlottesville, Virginia, just a few years back. So the governor has issued emergency orders restricting any handguns, any weapons, even baseballs, baseball bats, pocket knives, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, cannot be in the pockets or on the person of anyone in the rally. Here's an article that's off Facebook, and I don't know who posted it. I've forgotten, but it says this. I'm in Richmond, Virginia, and have received information from a very reliable source concerning Monday's rally against the legislative gun grab. Antifa have rented several buses to bring in their thugs to cause trouble. The report says they will be wearing MAGA hats and wearing NRA garb. They will pretend to be pro-gun people. Meanwhile, others posing as Democrats holding anti-gun signs will stand on the side. The Antifa thugs pretending to be pro-guns will attack the sign holders, making it look like the pro-gun people have started violence. This is the plan. If you're attending the rally, beware. Be aware and be very careful. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm fearful that we're going to watch the spark that ignites the revolution and a civil war starting out of Richmond, Virginia, out of the state of Virginia. You see, Northam is the blackface governor of the state of Virginia that admits to wearing blackface, as it is called. And he's also the same governor that said it's all right to murder a baby in the mother's womb by way of abortion. If the baby survives the abortion, Governor Northam says, we'll just put him on a table, keep that baby comfortable until he dies. That's the same governor now that heads up Virginia. That is the mindset, and he controls not only the executive branch, but both the lower and upper branches of Congress. And as a result of that, they think they can force through just about anything. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to pray today. Pray that God will protect us from a revolution or civil war in the United States of America. You might say, well, that's a little way out. No, I believe it's right on target for where we're headed, lest we wake up, sit up, and be obedient to the word of God and take a stand and pray. I believe we need to pray that God would deliver America from a coming revolution or civil war. But ladies and gentlemen, this is election year. November the 3rd of this year, we will cast ballots across America for some of the most, what I think is the most important election year in my lifetime. Now, 2016 was vital. In 2016, I believe God, by divine intervention, placed Donald J. Trump in the presidency of the United States of America. He's fought an uphill battle with the leftists, the loose likes, lost liberals, the fake media, the socialist Marxist Democrats, and yet he has produced more in the way of help and assistance and benefit and blessings for the United States of America than any other president in my lifetime. But it's election year, November the 3rd, 2020. Citizens will decide issues and ballot initiatives that will impact our city, our state, and our nation for many years to come. Some of these ballot initiatives and things that are placed on the ballot are right here in Duval County, right here in the city of Jacksonville. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe multitudes of conservatives and Christians should be informed and prepared to tell our leaders that some of these things we do not want, some of them we do. I believe it's time we are prepared to tell others and to invite them and to encourage them to vote. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that in 2016, 31 million, not thousand, 31 million Christians sat in the seat of do nothing and did not vote. And as a result of that, we had major catastrophic things taking place across America that should not have been. And I pray that you will vote this year. But to vote and to vote honorably, we need to be informed and understand and know exactly what the candidates are, who they are, and where they stand, and need to vote on it based on being a Christian and based on what the Word of God says. Although we will have other issues on the ballot, perhaps some of the more important issues will be those concerning the Duval County School Board, the school system, the educational system in Duval County. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, including the school board and how it is determined and what we'll do about the superintendent, whether it be an elected superintendent, whether it be an appointed school board or an elected school board, these things are going to be issues that's on the ballot. Some of them are ballot initiatives, constitutional initiatives, then, and some will just be a regular ballot initiative. But ladies and gentlemen, the election of what we do on the school board for the school board superintendent and the school board members is going to make a vast difference in the education of our children. Our children are to be educated, ladies and gentlemen, and it's the parents' responsibility. Every mom, every dad listening to me today, listen very carefully. God charges you, mom and dad, with the responsibility of training your children. Yet we have, down through the centuries, we have farmed that out to the school board, the public school system. For the past 40 years, 45 years, I've referred to it as the governmentally controlled school system. Now, there are some good things taking place in that realm. We have some good teachers in our school system, United States of America. Some of the major problems come out of the school teacher unions, as well as those that we elect and put in position of leading our school boards. But ladies and gentlemen, God's words, the Bible, says it's the parents' responsibility to discipline, to direct, and for the deportment of our sons and daughters and our grandkids. We are responsible for that. In fact, the Bible says very clearly, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not have departed from it, Proverbs 22:6. And in the Deuteronomy text, ladies and gentlemen, in what is called the Shema, it is a wonderful study of what parents are responsible for doing. The scripture says very, very clearly in the text, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in thy way, and when thou sittest liest down, and when thou risest up. Ladies and gentlemen, what that says is we have the responsibility of teaching our children, first and foremost, the Word of God. And secondly, the educational process is the responsibility of moms and dads. We might send them to public school, charter school, private school, Christian school, whatever the case may be. But it's the ultimate responsibility. God holds the parent responsible for that. So it's our responsibility, ladies and gentlemen, to vote and to vote intellectually and devote spiritually and devote biblically. And the only way that is possible is to know the issues, to know the candidates, and to know what the issues are. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our delight today to have as our guest on Let's Face the Issues, school board candidate Don Redman. Brother Don, it's a delight to have you with us today.
Thank you, Brother Gene. It's a delight to be here.
It's always good.
I took the day off today and to prepare to come here, and I'm still running late. So
amen.
Forgive me.
Well, I am thankful that you're here and for us to have this opportunity for dialogue and discussion. Let me just ask you very quickly, and I think it is District 3 that you're running for.
That's correct.
School Board District 3. And at the present time in District 3, and the particular person that's termed out is Ashley Smith.
Ashley Smith Juarez. She has served her going on 8 years and is termed out. But we need a conservative person in there to replace her.
Absolutely.
And I plan to fill that position. I am very conservative. Served 8 years on the city council as a conservative representative of the city, of the constituents of our city. I've served for 20 years as an area school, over 20 years, for area school advisory chairman in the Southside area, which would be the area that I would be representing. As right now, we have one conservative Christian voice on the school board.
Brother Don, how many people, and I think that most of our citizens may or may not know, how many people presently serve on the school board?
Seven people.
Seven people. And out of the seven people, you're saying we've got one conservative.
We have one conservative.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's not a laughable thing. I laugh at it because we, the people, make the decision on who we put in office. And this is the reason I'm so vitally concerned about this election cycle, that we put the right people in the right places, that God can use them to impact our city and especially in our school system. Brother Don, some of our listeners may not have met you, may not know you. Take a minute or two to tell us something, tell our listeners something about your background and your passion. And after the background and the passion, I want you to succinctly state for our listeners two things, three things, four things, but succinctly state what are the major issues that you feel are facing the school board today that you want to impact, to have an influence over, and or to change.
Well, I'm a born-again Christian.
Amen.
I serve the Lord in whatever I do. I'm a businessman. I've run a business for over 50 years. I've worked with children. I've coached little league ball. I've put on triathlons. I did triathlons for many years, and I've worked with children all my life.
You did 12. That triathlon until it was like me. We got too old to try to do that.
That's right. I'm just trying to teach others to do the right thing and live right. Things that I see in our public schools, I walk the aisles of the schools and the hallways and look at the students, and they're out of control. We need some discipline in our schools. We need to control the atmosphere in our schools to where those who wish to learn can learn. As it is right now, we have the fox running the hen house, you know, the inmates running the asylum, so to speak. So we need to allow our teachers to teach and to take control of the students that are disrupting their classes.
In the classroom.
We need principals that will back those teachers.
Yes, it is a discipline problem in the classroom. Brother Don, I pulled up on the internet and read the extensive, not all, but about 90% of the school board's policy and directions, et cetera, and I scanned it by category, and I find that more pages are devoted to what they call harassment, and sexual orientation than anything about academics or about anything concerning discipline in the school. I find it antithetical to what you would call an academic educational system when there's more attention paid to a child, a student's sexual orientation, sexual identity, and sexual preferences, and the school's major concern is to make sure that that is promulgated and protected, and that there is a sense of urgency that that be done. Now, Brother John, I'm jumping ahead of my planned thoughts for this, but should that be the major emphasis for a school board?
No. I've sat in meetings with adults, with the superintendent, with the teachers and principals, and listened to some of the things that are being taught, such as sex education. We have a person, our people from the health department coming into our schools, teaching sex education to our students, telling them that homosexuality is a normal way of life, and teaching them how to have safe sex as a homosexual and or as a heterosexual. This is wrong. This is not something that needs to be taught in our schools.
That further exacerbates not only the moral issue and the ethical issue, but the academic issue, if that is the thing that's been promulgated in the school system, and the overemphasis on that, isn't it?
It's overemphasis on it. Not only that, they give out condoms then to anybody that wants a condom.
In the Duval County Public School.
In the Duval County Public School.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that? Did you know that, ladies and gentlemen? Go ahead, Don.
In this meeting I was at, the lady from the health department said that we had two schools that refused to let us do that. So we had to go down the street and catch the kids as they were leaving school to give them condoms if they wanted them. So this is wrong. This is kind of things that we need to stop in our public school system. We need to get back to teaching the basic fundamentals of life. We need to, teach some real history in our class. We have children now that basically are being taught socialism.
Yes.
They're learning in schools that the government is going to take care of them. Mm-hmm. They're given breakfast. They're given lunch. They're given dinner. If they want after school to eat after school, they even have food there for them if they stay after school. We are teaching our children to be the kind of adult that we are supporting out here on the street. We are supporting having a lot of kids, and more kids they have, the more support they get, and a lifestyle that is not what we as Christians should be wanting our children to adhere to.
A lifestyle that's not conducive for the further promulgation and protection of a society. We're watching the disintegration of our society. And I've said, ladies and gentlemen, one of the major problems with the disintegration of morals and ethics and values and biblical truth in our society is fundamentally founded in what is done in our public academic educational system across America. And it may be all right in California if they want that, if that's what the citizens want. But, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think that's what we want in Duval County. I don't think as moms and dads and grandparents in the city of Jacksonville that we want to see the arrogance and the destruction of the minds of our children in the public school system. In California, there's this philosophy and the feeling that anything is all right if it is focused on the protection of and the promulgation of the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ agenda, and the Planned Parenthood agenda. But Brother Don, I don't think that ought to be in our city. One of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that I find is that we are, for the most part, we have kids in high school today, not just in Duval County, but across America in our public school system. We have kids in high school that 10th, 11th, 12th grade that cannot read at fifth grade level, cannot compute mathematical problems at the third grade level, and yet we are promoting them on social promotion year in and year out. So we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with today Brother Don Redman. He's the candidate for District 3 for the Duval County School Board for putting conservatives on the school board. He said just a moment ago, we have only one conservative now on the school board. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that out of the 7 school board members that we increase that number of conservatives so that we can have an impact and an influence on the lives of our children in the right way. Brother Don, there's a bill in Tallahassee. Perhaps you're familiar with it. And if the bill passes, it will determine then that starting in the year 2022, that we'll have an elected, not an appointed, not a contracted, not an appointed school board superintendent, but an elected school board superintendent. Before we get into that discussion, I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question and the comment, please.
Do you know, is Planned parenthood involved in the sex education curriculum in Duval County Schools?
Very simple answer for you, and I'll let Don answer further. Very simple answer for you. You take any textbook that's approved by the U.S. Department of Education, mandated to be approved by each State Department of Education across the United States of America. If it has anything to do with sex education, it is promulgated, published, and the input in it by the authorship of Planned Parenthood and the LGBTQ community. That's my position on it, and I would challenge anyone that wants to challenge that statement to prove me wrong or to prove it otherwise. Brother Don, do you have an answer for that?
Well, what you just stated is very true. They don't come to the meetings, but their literature, their push to get their what they want is there.
Their literature, their folders, their material, their flyers, all put out there in the sex educational classes in particular, all put out there for our kids kids and grandkids to pick up, and it's promulgating the sodomite lifestyle in our public school system. Yes, sir.
Okay. I got a question from Mr. Redmond. Mr. Redmond, do you know, is sex education specifically mandated in the Florida school code?
I do not know whether it is mandated by the Florida Schools Code, but I know it is allowed in the Duval County Public Schools.
I can answer that for you. Yes, it is mandated in the Florida School Code.
Okay.
And yes, in the Florida School Code, it's mandated, but this is one of the things that you'll find in the mandate for sex education. It does not give out in determinative step-by-step-by-step what can and cannot be taught. Many times it's left up to the local school board chairman and the local school board superintendent to be implemented by the teachers as mandated by the state as well as the national school teachers' unions. It's the teachers' union across America that's helping to destroy the academic system in our nation today, and that is true in Duval County.
Very true.
Okay, so the specific curriculum is actually a discretionary item?
To a large degree. It is mandated by the U.S. Department of Education for sex education. That is mandated then for each of these school boards on a national level for each state, and the state then trickles that down to the mandate to the local school boards. And then the absolute implementation of it and the little bits and pieces of it is left up to the local school board to carry out in that implementation of it. But I can say this. All of the curriculum that is used, all across America, that is used in the sex educational program is pure, absolutely pornography and garbage that is promulgated by the LGBTQIP organization and Planned Parenthood.
And the issue that I was talking about before, where the lady was coming into the schools and teaching sex education, that was the state health department. So the state was paying for that out of our tax dollars for an employee of the state health department to come in and teach sex education and promote what they consider safety, safe sex.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a minute break at the top of the hour. By the way, thank you for your call. Thank you for your questions and your dialogue on that. We appreciate your input. And I would suggest that all of us be in prayer for this election coming up and that we put the right people in the position that's going to be responsible for the curriculum that our children are being taught. It is very, very, very important. In fact, may I say imperative, Brother Don, that we have the right people in place that can at least put some brakes on some of the categories and areas that we're going to be talking about after our news break. We're going to be talking about further issues that are before us that we need to be concerned about. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to vote. We need to vote. But listen very carefully. We're talking with, ladies and gentlemen, today, Don Redmond. Don is the candidate for School Board District 3. She'll come back with us right after the news break at the top of the hour. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We'll continue our conversation with Don Redmond.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.